welcome to the podcast of 1,000 Holds. We talk about what happened this weekend in wrestling with the NXT TakeOver Chicago and WWE's Money in the Bank. Starting off with TakeOver Chicago, I gotta say, I really miss Mauro Ranallo calling the action. I understand he was calling boxing for Showtime that Saturday night, and Vic Joseph did a good job. But I miss Mauro. Anyhow, opening contest, Undisputed Era defended the tag team titles against Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. And man, NXT's back to putting the best tag team wrestling in the world on the WWE, that is, on the TV. You know, when the authors are paying for the tag champs, the tag team wrestling went down a little bit. Now that we got Undisputed Era as the tag champs, tag team wrestling's been going back up again. This match with Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, I think it's the first time these two guys are able to finally show a grand audience just how good they are. I've known of Lorcan for many, many years up here in the Northeast as Biff Busick, and he's one of my favorite indie guys. And it's been rough not having him up here the last, almost 2 years now. And not being able to really see him down there in NXT, except occasionally here and there. So it was it was great seeing him, and he did the gremlin, which is what we refer to when Oney had Roderick in the single leg crab, and O'Reilly kicked him in the face, and then Lorcan gives him that mean ass face, and O'Reilly like backs off, like holy shit. That we call that the gremlin, and it was awesome. And I really wanted Burch and Lorcan to get the win, but I'm okay with Undisputed Era retaining the tag titles. Ricochet defeated Velvet Dream. All right, so Velvet Dream wearing red and yellow and acting like Hulk Hogan, kind of lame, only because although Velveteen Dream is in excellent shape, he doesn't have Hogan's physique. And anytime Hogan did the pose down with somebody else, it was very evident that no one else had the Hulk Hogan physique. There's just something about him. Rather, it was Ultimate Warrior, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, I think I saw him do it once, Macho Man Randy Savage, it didn't matter. Whoever Hogan did the super pose down with, they all look small next to him. And when Velveteen Dream does it, because he's a very thin man, even though he's ripped and cut, looks very lame doing it. I did like both wrestlers doing each other's moves, and a game of one-upmanship, and anything you can do, I can do better, is played off really well. The suplex from the apron to the floor was just freaking crazy. Some great sequences in the match. Velveteen Dream still has a lot of fine-tuning to do, but he's getting better and better. You know, he's a decent promo. He's a natural heel. I thought one great moment was when Ricochet hit that 450 all the way across, halfway across the ring like he did. That was exceptionally impressive. And I liked the Dream being arrogant enough to attempt that elbow drop from all the way across the ring, thinking, oh, obviously I can do this. I'm the best. I mean, and then completely whiffing. It was great. Not as bad as the whiffing we saw later. And then, of course, anytime you see Ricochet do the 630, it's always impressive. Women's Championship match, Shayna Baszler against Nikki Cross. My least favorite match of the night. Again, it was decent. However, Baszler, even though she's improving as a wrestler, isn't the best professional wrestler. And I think they probably should have given her some more time before they put the belt on her. That's just my opinion, I guess. But I don't know. What else do you do with her? Then portraying Nikki as liking punishment, maybe for an odd finish with her smiling while being caught in the choke before passing out from for the referee stoppage. And I don't know. It was just okay for me. NXT champion Aleister Black against Lars Sullivan. I like Lars Sullivan. I know he's a big guy. And he's a monster, and they really haven't shown him can do much, but I think with Braun Strowman is proving you can be a big guy that does stuff and can get over other than just being a big guy. Because he's proven that just being big isn't enough anymore. So with Sullivan, you know, having him work the leg, showing him using the stretch muffler, I mean, it was good. It was good, showing he knows how to wrestle, knows how to wear a guy down if he needs to. But, oh man, Black completely missed that Black Mask kick. And not by a little either. I mean, by a whole ton. And because of the slapping of the leg, Sullivan took the bump and a two count. And it was the first time anyone ever kicked out Black Mask. And it never connected. And then listening to Nigel and Vic trying to cover it up, it was just stupid. Yeah. It hurt the match a lot. It took me out of it. Then he hit Black Mass in the arm. and Sullivan falls down. But when Black doesn't move in for the cover at all, you know, oh, he's getting back up. So that kind of took me out of it as well. So he gets back up to one knee, and well, that third Black Mass, though, that connected, and it kind of made up for everything else for the other two, and Alistair retained the title. Wow, main event time. Chicago Street Fight, Tommaso Ciampa against Johnny Gargano. First off, I like Candice bringing Johnny the crutch and telling him to go kick his ass. You know, the opposite of Adrian from Rocky, telling him you can't win all the time. It's a street fight. In a street fight, in a wrestling, you have to come to the ring wearing jeans or pants, knee pads over the jeans, and a t-shirt. Maybe you have cut-off sleeves, maybe you don't, but that is the official attire for me when it comes to watching a street fight. And these two gentlemen, they have followed the protocol and the etiquette. I'm not wearing the wrestling gear. You know, can't go get him with his kick pads on, I can accept that. I like that Tommaso's still not using music. I like him coming out with a crutch. I mean, it tells the story of the attack with the crutch and everything else that's gone on. And, yeah, it was just great. Nigel takes a bump when one of them gets thrown into him. That was, and he sold it for a while, so that was good. Didn't know he could still bump. The one thing that took me out of the match was the guy in the crowd that said, use this sign, Johnny. You know, the homage to ECW and Tommy Dreamer, or it's a stop sign inside of a paper sign. Okay, that guy's not getting that through security. He's just not. Not at all. So I had a hard time with that. The chair bump to the stairs, where he put the chair around Gargano's neck and then tossed him into the stairs, that was crazy. As well as the air raid crash under the stairs, that was crazy. The finish coming, where he did the air raid crash off the stage equipment and through the tables, where Johnny did that to Ciampa, that was awesome. Watching Ciampa getting hauled out on the stretcher, just to have Johnny bring Tommaso back to the ring. The crowd's going crazy. The officials, quote unquote, trying to stop him. The referee not being anywhere in sight, but Gargano getting not one but two tap outs, and handcuffing Ciampa. And it's like, you don't feel bad for Ciampa because he's finally going to get his. And then through all the chaos and through everything, when the referee finally gets back to the ring, and then they work the spot where Gargano gets DDT'd onto the the ring boards, because they had pulled the ring canvas back and the pads back, which I had actually forgotten about. By the time they got back to that, they had done such a great job of doing that, making you think something was going to happen, and then doing something completely different and not showing that on camera. I had completely forgotten that they had pulled the canvas and the pads back like that. And so when Tommaso got his hands in front of him with the cuffs on, with the 3-foot chain, and then he DDT'd Johnny onto the boards through the ropes, sick looking DDT, and then covers him, and the referee's got no choice but count the three because it's a street fight. You know, it was awesome. It was a great finish. It keeps the feud going, hopefully. I don't know what they're going to do next for a match, but I friggin' loved it. It was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And I could watch these two guys wrestle each other time and time and time again. For me, it's kind of like watching AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura over on the SmackDown brand. I can watch those two guys wrestle all the time. I can watch Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano wrestle all the time. That leads us into Sunday night for WWE's Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Alright, so 11 matches total. And the pre-show, the Bludgeon Brothers beat Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. Honestly, I haven't watched that match yet. I started the show late because I had a nice Father's Day trip that day with my family, but I had worked Saturday night into Sunday, so I didn't get a chance to... So I took a nap when we got back before starting the show, and I started it late. Haven't gone back to watch that match yet. Knowing the Bludgeon Brothers won, I kind of didn't care. Daniel Bryan beat Big Cass by submission. You know, I thought the match was a little long for my liking. However, I love that when Daniel Bryan gets cast down, and he's got the leg, and he slaps on that heel hook, showing that no matter how... Big Cass's leg is almost as tall as Daniel Bryan, and him locking in that heel hook with that submission, it just, it takes you out of the fact that there's such a size difference between the two, because it shows that, you know, a good submission, no matter how big you are, can take you down. Bobby Lashley defeating Sami Zayn, I have no comments. I don't like Lashley. I'm a big fan of Zayn. I'm going to leave it at that. Seth Rollins defeating Elias. I thought it was time for Elias to take that Intercontinental Championship. I thought it would be great. I thought this match was pretty solid. Alexa Bliss defeating Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Ember Moon, Lana, Naomi, Natalya, and Sasha Banks in 18 and a half minutes to win the Money in the Bank ladder match for the Women's Championship contract. I wasn't a fan of this match. Wasn't a fan of this match at all. I know some people, oh, it was great, everyone had a role, and everyone did this. No, everyone's role was, oh, hi, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yeah, there's like 10 women in this match, right? Or 8 or 10 women, and apparently the job was two of them wrestle in the ring, and the other six lay on the floor. That was the role. I just, that took me out of it. I didn't care. I just didn't care for this match. Roman Reigns against Jinder Mahal. God, I cared about this less than I did the Bobby Lashley Sami Zayn match. Carmella defeating Asuka. Fucking bullshit. Just Carmella is a worthless piece of shit wrestler who doesn't deserve to have the championship. It's worse than when Jinder Mahal had the title. And then the dumb fucking finish with Ellsworth getting up with the costume on and distracting Asuka for like, I don't know, what was it? 4 minutes before he finally took the mask off. And who cares? Why would she be shocked to see someone with her mask on? Was there any backstory as to why that should be shocking? It was stupid. And then Asuka gets built for 2.5 years in NXT as an unstoppable force beating everybody. She loses to Charlotte at WrestleMania, which is believable. Because Charlotte's an excellent wrestler who's established herself as an excellent wrestler and has also beaten almost everybody, even though she's lost some along the way. And then now Carmella is the first person to get a pinfall victory on Asuka, even though it's after some lame-ass fucking, you know, distraction by piece-of-shit Ellsworth. Yeah, this was garbage. This was garbage booking. It was fucking lazy, and it was ridiculous. If they wanted to get the title on Carmella, then have Asuka get disqualified for some reason. Have James Ellsworth run in and hit Asuka, or catch her leg, or get caught, and have just... Her pinning Asuka was garbage. Absolute fucking garbage. AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura, last man standing match. This match was fantastic. It went 31 minutes, and it deserved the 31 minutes it got. It's probably one of the best last man standing matches I've ever seen for the fact that there was no blood and guts in it. It was just fighting. It was storytelling. I thought for sure Nakamura was finally going to get the win. He didn't, but I'm still okay with it because I want to see these guys continue to wrestle. I love the finish where Nakamura is kind of getting up from... by the announce table, and he screams, he does the come on, and AJ Styles just kicks him right in the dick. I mean, that was fucking awesome. And then he hits the phenomenal forearm, through the announce table, and gets up before Nakamura can. And it was a great last man standing match. It was a fantastic match. These guys show that they can take any match style and make it awesome. I don't know what's next for them. I cannot imagine this is over. Nakamura does need to win the title. He needs to have a run as a WWE champion. And yeah, I'm loving this story. Ronda Rousey defeated Nia Jax by disqualification. All right, so I thought Jax would retain by disqualification somehow. I didn't think Ronda was going to get the title. I didn't see Alexa Bliss cashing in. That being said, Ronda Rousey is way better than I expected her to be. Like, having just the run WrestleMania match, having just the doing the house show tour. I mean, I don't know if they rehearsed this match. I don't know what they did, but she sells amazingly well. Like, when she fell through the ropes, like, she stood up, went to lean back against the ropes, and she fell through to the floor. I couldn't tell if that was a planned spot or an accident. I'm going to go with planned spot based on what happened after. But it's believable for her to do something like that because she's not used to the ring. She's used to being able to maybe fall against a cage. And instead, she fell through the ropes. It was fantastic. I mean, again, her coming off the top rope, Fantastic. When she punches Nia Jax in the stomach and Nia Jax doubles over, it's believable because of her reputation. I mean, yeah, I was a big fan of this match. It was way better than I thought it was going to be. It was definitely Nia Jax's best match. Ronda Rousey sometimes looking at a fish out of water through it, like not really knowing what she's going to do or what she should do or what she's going to do next. Believable. It's fantastic. When she came off the top rope, it was awesome. Like when she was standing, climbing up there and she's like, all right, I guess I'm going to do this. And then when she kind of did the little lean back and was like, whoa, like she was going to fall. I mean, everything she did was excellent. Rather, it was real or unintentional or intentional or whatever it was, it worked. It was great. I was a big fan. Here's what I was not a big fan. I was not a big fan with Alexa Bliss winning the way she did. Her cashing in, always fantastic. Her beating them both up with a briefcase first makes a lot of sense. They're both bigger and tougher than her. However, her getting the win off her stupid finish there, her splash off the top rope, no. If she would have hit that DDT and then pinned her, I would have been cool with it. But hitting the dumbass splash off the top rope, it gave Nia Jax way too long to recover. And you can't tell me a 95-pound girl falling on top of Nia Jax is going to knock the wind out of her or hurt her enough or stun her enough to keep her down for a three count. That's where it lost me. Her winning, that's fine. Her winning with her finish against Nia, not fine. And then the main event, Money in the Bank ladder match for a world championship contract. Braun Strowman defeated Bobby Roode, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Kofi Kingston, Rusev, Samoa Joe, and The Miz. Yeah. I thought this was great. Again, a lot of people ripped this apart. Bobby Roode didn't even climb the ladder. I don't care that Bobby Roode didn't climb the ladder. The match worked for me. Everything in this match worked for me. I thought it was fantastic. I thought Braun Strowman getting beat up and getting all the ladders thrown at him, take him out of it for a little while was great. I thought Rusev putting the stack-a-lade on three guys at one point was great. I thought when Braun ran through the ladder that Bobby Roode and I think Finn Balor were holding, and Miz was just standing in the ring staring at him in disbelief, I thought that was a fantastic option by The Miz. I thought the whole thing worked for me. The whole thing worked for me. Does Braun Strowman need the Money in the Bank? No, I don't think he does. I think just him challenging Brock Lesnar should be enough. I get why they put it on him. Now, Brock Lesnar doesn't have a choice but to wrestle him. But I think I would have appreciated like a Rusev winning it more. Or even a Samoa Joe or a Kevin Owens would have been awesome heel with that briefcase. I can understand some people's issues. They should have a SmackDown guy win it because at least their champion on SmackDown's there. Well, with Rusev winning it, he could challenge, you know, Brock Lesnar to wrestle him at SmackDown or Extreme Rules, and Lesnar wouldn't have a choice but to defend the title against him. So it wouldn't be that surprise cash-in that everybody loves. It just would have been a straight-up, I'm challenging you, I'm cashing in on this date, like Rob Van Dam did. I think what's-his-face did, the other guy. All I can think of is Elias Samson, and it's not him. You know, your intellectual savior. Damian Sandow. I think that's the way he cashed in as well. So, all in all, Extreme Rule, NXT TakeOver Mania was better as a whole card for me than Money in the Bank. But it could be the 5-match card as opposed to the 10-match card. 11 if you count the Alexa Bliss cash in. I know I wasn't angry after a single match after NXT, unlike the frustration I felt at Money in the Bank the next night. So, I don't know. Either way, it was a good weekend for wrestling, though. I got to watch wrestling. I also took in some New Japan action. They had a couple of live shows on New Japan World in Japanese commentary only. But again, if it's good wrestling, I don't care, man. I just want to watch good matches. And if it's good, then it's good. I also started watching the Tournament of Death, 2018 Tournament of the Death, number 17, put on by CZW. And you know, I enjoy all flavors of wrestling, and I'll go into detail about this one once I finished watching it, because I didn't finish it yet, but man, sometimes even for me, it's a little rough watching some of the shit these guys do. It's not like it was back in the day, I guess, when I first started watching it. But other big news, the UK brand is finally happening, however, they're calling it NXT UK. I don't know if I'm okay with that or not. Because, you know, NXT is its own brand, and the UK brand should be its own brand. And it was never called the NXT United Kingdom Championship. It's always just been the WWE United Kingdom Championship. And I don't know how I feel about it. And I accidentally just saw the spoilers for the United Kingdom Championship Tournament 2018. And I just pissed myself off. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of what I just did. Maybe it actually hasn't happened yet and someone just put that up there. I hope so. I hope that someone didn't spoil the match for me. Yeah. Anyways. They're going to crown a women's champion. They're going to crown a tag team champion on top of the already existing United Kingdom champion. And this is why I wish those shows were live and not... This is just why I wish those shows were live and not tape delayed until next week. Because I just accidentally saw the result of a match and I'm pretty pissed off about it. If that's the case, so... Hopefully it's not. Hopefully it was just someone being a douchebag on Wikipedia. Anyways. Alright, well hey, thanks for listening. Make sure you check out my blog, The Wrestling Insomniac. I just posted an article about the Madison Square Garden and the potential of other promotions running there. I guess they're a little pissed off that WWE's been running less and less events there. I guess they're a little angry that next year when WrestleMania returns to the Newark, New Jersey area, when they run the Meadowlands or Giant Stadium or MetLife Stadium, whatever you want to call it, that they have no events planned at the Garden, that they're doing everything at the Barclays Center. You know, Hall of Fame, NXT, Raw, SmackDown. I guess that's... irked them a little bit. So, allegedly, AAA, the Lucha Libre promotion, has a show booked for this September there, and Ring of Honor has talked about running the venue next year. And I got a bunch of comments from my friends, their opinions on it as well, over at thewrestlinginsomniac.com. Also, you can reach me on the Twitter. I'm at SuperstarMel, and thanks for listening.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!